The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
So we are back. This is God Calling for another week. I'm Paul Orlowski, the host. Father Joseph Mary Wolfe is our guest, a member of the Franciscan Ministers of the Eternal Word. And that eternal word ought to ring a bell with you, EWTN. EWTN, Father Joseph, you probably see him quite often in the morning mass on EWTN. Father, you were born in Iowa. First of all, welcome to the show here in Cleveland.
Well, good to be with you. Yeah, good to be with you, Paul.
Right before we started, you said a quick prayer. Can you repeat that for our listeners?
Yes, come Holy Spirit, and enkindle in us the fire of thy love. We depend on the Holy Spirit, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and kindle in our hearts a new fire. Amen.
Father, where did the fire begin for you?
Well, it was a wonderful environment there in eastern Iowa, Dubuque Archdiocese, and very strong Catholic area. So I had good Franciscan sisters that taught me in grade school, and then eventually I studied in engineering and worked in the engineering field in the medical field, fixing and repairing CAT scanners and X-ray equipment in eastern Iowa. And then I came across, when I got transferred to Dubuque, this nun on television. And they were just on the air 4 hours a day. It wasn't uncommon for them just to drop off the air. And so they had technical problems. And one day it was a live show, and Mother was dropping on and off the air. And she said, as you can tell, we need an engineer. If you're an engineer, you want to come help us, come help us. So at the time, I had worked in the medical field for 5 years and just had a sense God was calling me. And I said, well, maybe if I work for her for a year volunteering, I can figure out what God's calling me to do. Well, I ended up never leaving.
And, of course, we're talking about Mother Angelica in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that, but it sounds so like her, though, you know, just to say, hey, if you're an engineer, give us a call.
That's right.
Hey, ask and the Lord will answer, right?
Yeah, and the network, there was a very small operation in those days. We were just on the air 4 hours a day. And there are about 25 of us in the crew. And now I think we're like 450 around the world. And
wow.
Multiple languages and just remarkable growth that has continued. And thank God that Mother had the courage to take that step, that leap in faith.
We kind of take ownership of Mother Angelica here in Cleveland a little bit because her initial calling began at the Shrine of the Conversion of St. Paul here in downtown Cleveland, 40th and Euclid Avenue, and then grew from there. She was from Canton, Ohio. But we have a special affinity, as I'm sure you do, in meeting her and knowing her and being there as her germ of an idea grew into this phenomenal network. So you were just working there, first of all, volunteering and then working there as an engineer?
Yes, so I did that for 1 year, and then through God's providence, Mother got a lot of new equipment. There was a man in California trying to start a Catholic TV station. He had bought the best equipment money could buy, but it never got off the ground. It sat in storage for 2 years, and Mother found out about it. So she got it for a small portion of the original cost, and they said, will you stay another year and help install it? I said, sure, I'll stay another year. So at the end of 2 years, Mother announces she's going to start a men's community to be the spiritual support for the network. And the sisters, there were 12 of them at the time, were praying that I would be part of it because I was going to daily Mass, and it wasn't televised in those days. There's about 8 people that would go to daily Mass, and I was one of them. So they kind of zeroed in on me as being one of the first members of this community.
12-1, you didn't stand a chance, Father. That's the Franciscan ministers, ministries of the Eternal Word.
Franciscan missionaries.
Missionaries, okay. And you were basically one of the founding members.
Yes, so we began on May 2nd, 1987, the Feast of St. Athanasius, a great defender of the divinity of Christ. And I think that's relevant because Eternal Word Television Network was founded to defend the divinity of Christ. There was this series of programs called The Word that were calling into question Christ's divinity. And so Mother founded the Eternal Word to emphasize his divinity. And so we're quite happy to be founded on the Feast of St. Athanasius.
Mm-hmm. So their prayers worked. You entered the order. What happened next?
So we just began. You know, Mother didn't have to have everything in place before she began.
She was no time like the present.
That's right. Take a step forward and see how it goes. And if another door opens, you keep going. So thankfully, at the time, we had a priest from Ireland associated with us, and our bishop welcomed us and allowed us to begin. And later, the bishop who actually ordained me was from Ireland, too, so they had a good camaraderie. So we began just as a private association of the faithful. And thanks be to God, we've grown. We have 10 priests now and 3 permanent brothers. So we're a small group, but we're able to reach the whole world, thanks be to God, through this media mission.
It really does amaze me when I think about it, because my mom watches every day. The vision of one person, one soul, one of God's children, sister, obviously, reaching the world from Alabama, you know, not from New York City, not from Los Angeles, just from Alabama, and it's changing lives.
You know, I said that if we would have put our heads together back in 1981 when EWTN was beginning, we said, no, we got to start a TV network that's got to reach the whole world, a media network, we'd say, well, number one, we need somebody in charge who knows what they're doing. They know television. They've worked in it. You know, they have experience. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is you have to have a lot of finances because it costs a lot of money to have satellite time and so on, like over $100,000 a month to be on the satellite. And then thirdly, build it in a strong Catholic area, you know, like the Northeast. So what does God do? He chooses a nun who knows nothing about television. She has $200, and she's in the Bible Belt where there's 2% Catholic population. And he said, there's nobody weaker, and so I choose her to manifest my providence.
Well, he chose a strong soul, that's for sure. There's a great picture on the website of her sitting behind one of these huge audio consoles. And it's funny in her full, you know, habit, mm-hmm. obviously. Yeah. Father, stay with us. We'll be back on God Calling in just a couple of minutes. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Joseph Mary is joining us, Joseph Mary Wolf. Father, in your order, you take on another name, and you chose Mary. In my day, the Sisters of St. Joseph was not unusual to have a Sister Joseph, but this is unusual. Why? I think I know the answer, but why Mary?
Mm-hmm. Well, we make a consecration according to St. Louis de Montfort's formula every year. We actually do the 33-day preparation and make that consecration to Our Lady. And there are many wonderful saints who did the same. St. Jean Marie Vianney, mm-hmm. St. Louis Marie de Montfort, Maximilian Mary Colby, Anthony Mary Claret. So they understood, as we understand, that Our Lady is the star of the new evangelization, too, as Pope John Paul called her. And so we want even our name to reflect that consecration to Our Lady.
In your order, you live in obedience, without anything for your own, and in chastity, sharing a common life of prayer before the exposed Blessed Sacrament, and in total consecration to the Mother of God, just as you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's living the consecrated life. We have prayers together. We live the common life. And I often reflect upon that, what a blessing it is. I thank the Lord often for my brothers that he's given me. You know, just to have that support, just to be able to bounce things off one another, you know, that's going on in the world and how we should address it and deal with it. And so to have brothers, we can always do more together than we can just as individuals, right? And, mm-hmm. and we see that in religious life.
Clearly part of the mission is to communicate faith through the media, and you're very, very clearly very good at it. Above all, it says here in an article that I read, we reverently and wholeheartedly celebrate the televised daily of Mass, touching millions across the globe, blessed to participate in this new evangelization. But as a priest saying Mass, how daunting is that the first time that you're getting a worldwide audience?
Mm-hmm. It was very painful the first years of my priesthood. It was very daunting, and I've grown over the years to learn what Mother Angelica said. You know, one time she was asked, she said, you know, about her live shows, and she said she didn't always know what she was going to talk about, but she said when that red tally light came on, she tried to see the needy, hurting person out there and speak to that person, and she always had something to say to them. So I think it's something that's driven me just to look outside of myself to the needs of others. What are words that could encourage them, give them heart, give them hope in their struggles? And we all have struggles, and the gospel always revives us. And so that's basically it. Let's preach the basic gospel message because there's life there, there's hope there, and it points us to our end, which is eternal life.
There are people out there, you mentioned being troubled, but part of the mission, I think, also is bringing back the stray sheep, trying to serve their spiritual needs, teaching retreats, radio and TV, obviously, which you're clearly doing. But I think you've summed it up with Sister, looking out there, that what does someone out there troubled need to hear from me today?
And Mother often said that the little remote control was her ally because she said, my job is to put the signal out there, and then it's up to the Holy Spirit to prompt a person to go through the channels and, and to stop for a minute. And so that's what we're about. And one of the most watched hours on EWTN is the televised Mass. So we try to make the liturgy as beautiful as we can and to make our homilies relevant and encouraging and hopeful to people. We of course, work very hard at those things. Because, like one of our brothers, Brother Bernard, said, he said the Mass is the most popular program, it's more than a program, of course, on EWTN because Jesus is the host.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a reality that his presence is real. And it's even in some way communicated even through the media, especially when the Mass is aired live.
In a church that I go to, sometimes the Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is pictured just below the altar with the sheep around his shoulder, bringing the sheep back to the flock. And I would suspect nothing does that like television. What do you hear from people who maybe you've started to touch? Do you get letters?
We get remarkable letters, you know, from all over the world and emails of people who've come back to the faith. I've talked to many people who come here to the network and to the shrine that Mother later built, and they will tell me their stories of how the network brought them back to the faith. This year, I've met many people who said, you got us through COVID, and they said, we didn't even know you existed until we were quarantined because of COVID, and you gave us so much heart and hope, you know, in those anxious times. So that's what keeps us going, you know, is just to hear these stories, and I tell people we never tire of hearing them because it tells us that the network is helping people. And Mother said if the network only helped one soul, it was all worth it. But we know it's much greater than that.
A couple of weeks ago, we had a member of the Poor Clares Collatine here in Cleveland, which is in Cleveland. And I know that your particular ministries support them in many, many ways. I'm not sure if you have a part of that, but they're very appreciative of that. Is that a financial sort of a help to keep them praying because they live a very austere and cloistered life?
Now, I don't know about the sisters up there, but I do know Of course, we are very consoled with Mother Angelica's community here, the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the church has two patrons of the church's missionary activity, St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Francis Xavier. He was the great missionary. She was the great contemplative. And the church understands if the mission of the church is going to be fruitful, you need both. And so we are blessed to have contemplative nuns here in Hanceville praying for the mission and for its fruitfulness. But, and I often say, they're the heart, and then the network transmissions are the voice, because you have to hear the gospel too, as St. Paul says, how can they respond without hearing it?
Mm-hmm. Father, can you stay with us? We'll be right back on God Calling in just a couple of minutes. God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Paul Orlowski. Father Joseph Mary is our guest. Father Joseph Mary joining us today on God Calling out of Alabama, EWTN. You see him in the morning mass at 8 o'clock in the morning. Father, you talked about people responding, saying how you got them through COVID and things like that. Some of the stuff I've read on the website really has to do with vocations. Are there people that have contacted you or someone there that are now considering vocations? And I guess the big question in any vocation is, how do I really know that it's God calling me? How do you advise people?
Yes, and first of all, I remember Bishop Foley said that when he was a bishop here, he said that whenever he would go to visit a parish and he was talking to the people who were coming into the church, he'd ask them, well, what brought you into the church? And he said a great number of them would say EWTN. And that's also true of vocations, I'm sure, because I know, in fact, I received an interesting letter from a young man in England. He was just kind of living the secular mindset, which was very strong where he's living. And he just happened to come across our Mass in EWTN. He started watching it, and he wrote me this multi-page letter that I kept, where he's now a Jesuit seminarian.
Wow.
So that was one story, but I know that there are many others as well. And how do we discern, you know, if God is calling us? Well, God is calling all of us, right? We all have a particular mission, whether it's Catholic radio, like you, Paul, and your associates, whether it's myself in a unique role of preaching to the whole world, you know, literally,
mm-hmm.
Or pastors, or a homemaker, or the father making a living for his children. We all have a particular mission, a particular work that God's given us to do and to bear fruit that will endure into eternal life. And the way that we discern that is, first of all, by prayer, but also there's a certain attraction that's planted in us, a certain desire. When I was an engineer here, and I remember this quite vividly, I was walking up the steps from the transmitter building. I was working in the transmitters and heading back up to the studio, and I just envisioned myself wearing sandals and a brown habit, you know,
mm-hmm.
and which is what came to be. And it brought a certain delight to my heart, you know, that giving my everything to God and serving Him, I was inspired by the example of St. Francis of Assisi. So I think we have a certain drawing attraction, you know, to a particular way of life, and that's planted in us. And that's going to be our way to fulfillment. But then we pray to discern that. And I often say that things begin to point in the same direction. So maybe somebody says something to me. People said to me, you know, I think you have a vocation. You know, and things begin to point. People will say things. We get certain inspirations. And things begin to point in the same direction. And that's God revealing His plan for us. I'd like to add two other things, is just
sure.
prayer to the Holy Spirit and prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. That's where you're going to especially discern more clearly.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the quote, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've heard often on this program, people say out of the blue, they're thinking of a possible religious vocation, and somebody will say something to them. And then a couple days later, somebody else will say something, yet they haven't said anything outwardly to the people around them, but the message gets to them in many, many ways. And it sounds like those 12 sisters had that idea for you, Father.
Yeah, I was, in fact, praying quite sincerely that I would know God's will, and I would do and you know, have the courage to do it, whatever it was. And it was one day that three different people told me the same thing, that you're going to go home for a short time, which I did because I had some things to sell, and but then you're going to come back here, and you're going to be happy here. And all three told me the same thing on the same day, and I was like, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, then your will be done. And then it was also interiorly I had a certain joy and peace with making that decision.
I see on the site if people are interested from the ages, certain ages, I think it was 21 to 35, so I'm a little over the limit there. I'm only 34 years over the limit, Father. But what is your day like away? Because clearly you're known for your visibility on the channel. But what's your day like? Mm-hmm.
So we begin our day at 6 a.m. with our divine office in common in our little friary chapel. It's not the chapel you see with the televised mass. We have a beautiful little friary chapel. It's like a little Portiuncula. And so we gather prayers there. Then we have, of course, the televised mass or other works that we're involved in. We have over 300 employees here on the campus of EWTN. Father John Paul especially ministers to them. We have confessions every day, both here and in Hansville. And a lot of people in the whole diocese take advantage of that availability. It's kind of a Franciscan charism to hear confessions.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a noon mass for our employees. We have our midday prayer and our rosary and evening prayer. So we have the prayer in common. We have our meals in common, our evening meal especially. And but I think for young men who want to make a difference, that's what really inspired me about EWTN, even in its beginnings, is that this was a great way to reach people where they are in front of their television sets and to bring the gospel to them. And so we would love for some young men to consider our community. We have a website where they can learn more information about our daily life, see our horarium there and our rule of life. And perhaps the Lord may be calling some of those listening to your program.
You have other duties, too. You're the EWTN chaplain as well as the EWTN chapel dean. What do those duties entail?
So I'm responsible for whatever happens at the televised mass or devotions that we have in organizing, overseeing that. Everything from the musicians to the flowers to the sacristy work. To visiting bishops or clergy and getting those things, the servers. And so basically overseeing the public things that happen in the chapel and then just being involved as kind of the on-air chaplain for EWTN.
If someone would like more information, where can they go?
So you can just go to franciscanmissionaries.com is our website, or just search the friars. MFVA is our Latin initials, but franciscanmissionaries.com is where our website is, and you can find a lot of information and different videos and things, information about our community.
Father Joseph, and you have quite a presence online as well, so Father Joseph Mary Wolf pops right up too with some links and other helpful information. Father, thank you so much. I know you've got a busy day, and I really appreciate you taking time to be with us here on God Calling.
Pleasure to be with you, Paul.
Father, thank you so much. This is God Calling. Please join us next week at the same time, Sunday afternoons. We look forward to talking to you again.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.